Senate Bill 53 annuls the changes made by the Department of Health and Social Services to the general relief medical regulations related to funding for abortion. The regulations would read as they did in December 1992. Medicaid funds by federal law are used only to abort pregnancies which threaten the life of the mother if the pregnancy were carried to term. Senate Bill 53 would allow the state to continue to pay for abortions through the general relief medical program for all other qualifying low-income pregnant women. Enclosed are the effective regulations you have in your committee packet, fiscal notes, and a position paper from the Department of Health and Social Services. There is also a memorandum from Terry Lauterbach, Division of Legal Services, dated 7/22/92, and a packet of information which was distributed by the Department of Law regarding the regulations. We have a lot of people who have signed up to testify. To begin, I'd like to ask if there is a representative of the administration who would like to testify.
Mr. Chairman.
Please come forward, just wait just a minute. Senator Leland.
Mr. Chairman, just a couple things I just want to clarify before we get started. First, we got these packets today delivered at 11 o'clock. I just wondered if this was going to be standard procedure, if we get them a few hours just before the hearing, especially on something with complex memoranda in here, if this was unusual today. And the second, I just wanted to note for the record, even though this is a committee bill, that I object to its introduction. And I just wanted to make that note on the record.
Okay, so noted. The in response to your first question, Senator Lehman, the committee will do whatever it can to try to get committee bill packets out as early as possible. Your point is well taken. Could you please state your name for the record?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Jay Livey from the Department of Health and Social Services.
Please be seated.
I know that there are many people here who want to testify. The department has distributed through the committee a position paper and a fiscal note. The position paper takes a position that the department is in opposition to Senate Bill 53. I think the position paper states why that is so. I won't go into that unless there are questions. We do have individuals here from the Division of Medical Assistance. We'd be happy to answer any questions about this issue or any questions about the fiscal note.
Are there any questions, committee members? Thank you, Mr. Livey. I haven't done a count of just how many people have signed up to testify, but there is an extensive list. I would ask that members please, or that people testifying, please try to limit their testimony to 2 minutes each so we can give everybody a chance to testify today. And we will be going on to teleconference, but to start, I'd like to take about 20 minutes of testimony from people here, and then we'll go to teleconference and back into the people here locally. I should ask, are the people in the back of the room able to hear? Okay, I think the PA system is off.
It's off right now because if I turn it on, I need to have some guy come up and look at it.
Yeah, and I've already called them.
Okay, I don't know if you heard that, but supply is on its way to try to fix the PA system so that you can hear in the back of the room without getting the feedback. I would ask the people testifying if they could speak as loud as they can within reason so that people throughout the room can hear. The first person who has signed up to testify is Terry Martin. To please come forward and state your name for the record and proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. One instruction may be better if I kind of face on the side because they can hear it, but if I'm face on the side, they can't talk. It's
sure.
Unusual, I know, to have the audience do
it's
that.
It's unusual. Go ahead.
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, I'm glad that you brought this issue up because it's something that has not been discussed for a number of years. And I do not know if the committee has in its packet a report that was 2 years in the making. It actually didn't take 2 years to do it. It took about 8 months for the committee, but an audit committee, to finally release it. And it was released on January the 8th, not July 10th, as it shows here. Mr. Chairman, I think it's important and very important for this committee, and not other committees, to find out what the Health Department had been doing pertaining to abortions, and what the state had been paying for, and how many abortions have happened. And I did talk to the person, against the department. They want her to speak on that business. I won't give her a name right now. But you should discuss it, because I was told that these reports are perhaps misleading, that perhaps there hasn't been almost 1,200 abortions a year. And by budget and all this calculation, that they said that this abortion rate had really escalated in this last year. And there really is no answer why should there be a tremendous increase in abortions in this state. When you look at the live birth rate in Alaska, which last year was reported about 9,900, and that's for all people, all birth rates, and this state is paying for over 1,100 abortions, I mean, over 11%, 12% of our people who become pregnant are aborting their children. That's way, way out of line for any state, or any nation. I do question these statistics, and I'd like to bring the members' attention, specifically to page number 6. You can see that the number of abortions that have happened this year was 898 last year, and this year is 1,167. I agree with the budget and audit people. This is way out of line. What's causing this abortion rate? Number two, if we're going to pay for it, people, does the state not have some responsibility in telling the people who come in for abortions that there may be later problems? It's my understanding that we pay substantial amount of monies for post-syndrome abortion people who are having terrible psychological problems when they suddenly realize what they've done. And it seems to me a responsibility of this state and this legislature, if you're going to pay for psychological problems after the fact, that perhaps we should allow psychological evaluation before the fact. Or if the state wants to stay out of the abortion phenomena and stay out of payment, fine. Let's not pay for it. Another thing I noticed is that there's a high proportion of Native people. And this really shocked me, because I know in our culture here, the Native culture, they have a high belief in the unborn child. There's a beautiful article just last Monday about a Native mother who talks about the elders and what they do to help the mothers know that the fetus is a child and how to talk with the child in the womb. But then when they see the high rate of abortions among the Native people, you may wonder, well, do they really have any counseling by their own people before this abortion is allowed? Chairman, I know you have a lot of people that need to talk, and I want the citizens to talk. I just felt that it was my important role to bring to you the latest statistic brought on about abortions, and hopefully your department will ask the so-called specialist we have in the Heads Committee to evaluate. If they say this is misleading, tell us where it's misleading. What control do we have over abortions? What medical procedures? How do we protect the young ladies who may be in a terrible emotional traumatic situation? And why is it that the state alone produces 10% more abortions, or 10% abortion compared to life? Something's way out of line. So that's my testimony. One other thing is that we do hope to get a corrected version. If the department says that these are not correct, sir, these figures, then I think it's incumbent upon them to let us know what we are paying for and what kind of records they have controlling. We don't do it in hospitals now, but it's at least 3 different clinics. I don't even know if those clinics are monitored. I don't know what inspection process they have. So I hope that you really scrutinize the department, sir.
Thank you. Senator Lehman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Martin, in your comments, you talked about 11% of the pregnancies ending in abortion. I think if you look at these statistics, it's actually probably considerably different from that. I think these statistics show that 11% are paid for the state under the General Relief Medical Assistance. And in addition to that, the state pays under the State Employee Insurance Program, and then there are other abortions performed in the state of Alaska that are paid by other sources. So the actual number
the proportion of abortions in the state of Alaska would be considerably higher than 11%,
right,
and conceivably could approach the national average of about a third of all pregnancies.
Thank you, Representative Martin, for your testimony. Thank you. Next, I'd like to call on Ida Barmack, really? Barmack? Please state your name for the record again.
I'm Ida Barnack. I represent Alaskans for Life in Juneau. Alaskans for Life is a non-sectarian organization with the primary goal of promoting respect for human life. Our organization supports the concept that innocent human life must be protected by government. As such, Alaskans for Life recommends that you support the administration's regulations which limit abortion funding to therapeutic abortions only. It is our view that the regulations which were adopted by the Department of Health and Social Services cover every possible reason for justifying abortion based on health concerns. The regulations give the broadest possible definition for therapeutic abortion, which includes medical, physical, and psychological considerations. Furthermore, the regulations do not even require that abortion be performed by someone other than the physician certifying the appropriate health reasons are met for state payment. This is a clear conflict of interest. Left uncovered by the General Relief Medical Program are only those abortions which are clearly elective in nature. It is not appropriate for the General Medical Program to be covering voluntary elective medical procedures. Normal pregnancy is not a disease, and it is wrong to treat it as such. Poor women need help, but convincing them to destroy their children is not compassion. Since the regulations allow payment for all therapeutic abortion, only elective abortions are left. Therefore, annulment of these regulations would indicate a clear disregard on the part of the Alaskan legislature for the dignity and respect due to the child in the womb. Not only does it say that the life of the child may end without reason, but the state would pay for it as well. We ask that some semblance of civility be restored to our state policy on abortion funding. Therefore, we object to the annulment of the subjective regulations. Doing so returns the state to the previous policy, which promotes abortion on demand. We think state policy should support life, not death.
Thank you. Thank you. Next is Ted Dietz. Please state your name for the record and I'll begin.
Good afternoon. My name is Ted Dietz. I'm from Juneau. I'm speaking on behalf of myself and my son, 21 months old. He's not old enough to speak at the moment and express displeasure, which he would probably do at this point. Now, I saw my boy born when he was 9 months old, and I'm certain he was a human being and a person at that point, subject in having a right for legal protection from the state. I know of his progress before that time when he could bump around and move and keep his mother and I awake. And science has proven that when he was 3 weeks old, he had a heartbeat. And at 6 weeks old, he had brain waves. And at 10 weeks old, he had fingerprints and footprints. So on behalf of my son, I have a plea to the state for his generation that the state protect the unborn children, the unborn Alaskan citizens, and the persons under 9 months of age. So I'm against any bill that would have the state pay for abortions, and I speak for my son as well.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Next is Lana Fagan. I hope I'm pronouncing these names right. Please take a name for the record and begin.
Lana Fagan. And thank you for the privilege of being able to express my own personal opinion here. I see this bill, I see no real reason for this bill, first off. I think that it has, the regulations that were in effect have no, they don't put a burden on women. You can get, they are paid for if there is a good reason. What it does do is it wants to make them not financially accountable for a personal reason, whatever that would be. So I don't see any need for this at all. I think that whatever reason it was put out here is obviously for some sort of pro-abortion stance. I don't see anything that can come from it that's not already available. I think some of you who are perhaps pro-abortion are honestly want to protect women and want to do the right thing for women, but I think you are deeply misled. I think that I believe in choice. I believe that a woman has the choice to choose when a life will begin. I think birth control gives us that choice. I think if you choose not to use that, or something happens, then women do ultimately hold the responsibility for ending a life that they have begun. I agree with that, but you must understand what a sacrifice that is, and it is not to be done lightly. It is not to be an easy cop-out answer. The responsibility of a health and education and social services committee is to provide education. These high school students should know what an abortion is. They should have to sit there and look at the consequences. Then maybe you can get a change. If they have to see the horrors that the pro-abortion people are trying to hide, our young people will understand the truth if they are presented the truth. I'm the mother of three daughters, and I am trying to get them to understand that for every choice they make, they will have consequences to deal with. And I don't like being undermined, and I don't want them to be deceived. I don't want them to think that abortion is some wonderful right to be exalted. It is not. It is truly not. Someday history will obviously point that out to us all, and we will stand in shame for what's gone on. I see this committee, and I see all of our responsibility is to support the women who have had this and who have had to come to grips with the thought that you murdered your own child. What a horrible burden to have put on someone. I think that your position should be to be education in high schools on birth control and what abortion truly is and some responsibilities. I think that you should start putting some value on children again. Get prenatal care. You cannot send double messages that prenatal care is important, but on the other hand, it's not really a thing. I'd like to see doing legislation for the protection of our children from pornography and from abuse and things like that. And I'd like to see give motherhood back some dignity. I mean, Zoe Barrett hit it on the head. It's worth like $10,000 a year to raise a child and to take care of a house. And that's a bad message. So for all of you here, I just ask that you reevaluate your position if you are pro-abortion. You know, our country's going in a certain direction, and the only way that we can change that direction is for people to look at past ideas and look at what's gone on. And if you look at the truth, and if you have the guts to look and to see at what stage a baby turns into a fetus, if you have the guts to look and view a video of an actual abortion, and if you have the guts to look a woman in the eye who is devastated by the same recurring trauma over years and years, and then you make that decision, then you have made an informed decision, one that you can live with in the future. And we owe that to our young people to make that decision. And you owe it to yourselves. because the popular thing is not always the right thing, and the right thing is not always the popular thing. And it takes a great deal of courage to stand up and change your mind. And I'm here today because my middle child asked me what an abortion was, and I told her, and she looked at me and she said, with tears in her eyes, that is the saddest thing I have ever heard of. And I agree.
Thank you. Next is Philip Gray.
My name is Philip Gray. I live at 4410 North Douglas Highway, Juneau. I wanted to say that I'm opposed to Senate Bill 53. I don't think the public money should be used to fund abortions. I believe abortions are morally wrong, except in rare cases to protect the life of the mother. And that's really all I have to say. I support Governor Hickel's termination of the funding for abortions. Thank you.
Thank you. Next is Robert Hatt.
My name is Bob Head. I'm a Juneau resident and also executive director of American Family Association of Alaska. I speak today on behalf of myself only. Some years ago in Anchorage, there was another individual carrying the same name, Robert Head, who was quite an activist against abortion. At the time I laughed at him, I was embarrassed to carry the same name. Over a period of time, due to personal experiences, my views have changed 180 degrees. I would ask this committee to seriously evaluate the repeal of these ordinances or statutes as they now stand, regulations. I've become closely acquainted yourself with the actual procedure and results of abortion. I'll just finish by saying I strongly oppose, in the strongest possible terms, the passage of House Bill 53 or House Bill 55. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, Sid Heidersdorf.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Sid Heidersdorf. Excuse me. Mr. Chairman, I noticed in looking at the Senate committee announcements, which was published last Friday, that something that struck my eye was under the scheduled notice for the hearing, it said pending introduction and referral, and that carried kind of a telltale sign. I was concerned whether or not this is an indication, since this bill was scheduled before it was even introduced, whether or not this was on some kind of a special track or a fast track consideration for this legislature. And so I'd like to ask a question. Will this committee be holding additional hearings if everyone is not heard on this subject today?
I'd have two responses, but I think in direct response to your question, the bill has three committees of referral. This is only the first committee of referral. So this is not the last hearing on this bill. And I also would want to say that in general, any committee member is free to answer a question from a person testifying, but this is public testimony.
I don't understand. You're saying that you don't know whether you're going to hold additional hearings, or you're not going to hold additional hearings? See, what explain to you what concerns me is the fact that abortion is like no other subject. Look here at the crowd that's attracted by the issue of abortion. And it's not like oil royalties or taxing policies or school funding. This issue cuts to the very heart of who we are and what we stand for. And people deserve the right to be heard verbally, not be told, write us a letter. When you're talking about the state paying to destroy the life of a child, people should have the right to be heard on that subject. The Hickel administration acknowledged that. They held hearings in three locations, Juneau, Anchorage, Fairbanks, and conference hearings in 17 other locations, and they heard a little less than 9,000 people. And I think that the people who were opposed to those regulations had an opportunity to express their opposition. I think the people that are opposed to this bill have they should deserve the right to be heard on this subject as well. And if people are not heard completely today, they deserve the right to speak to this committee. This committee is the Health and Social Services Committee, not Judiciary or the Finance Committee. I'll guarantee you, you won't hear much said today about the cost or about judicial kinds of issues. You're hearing about health and social policies, and this is the committee that has to hear it. And so if you do not allow people to speak on this subject and be heard, I think it's going to be a terrible mistake. Having said that, thank you. Now, my testimony, we've already heard a couple of people refer to the fact, do we have the guts and moral fortitude to face the facts on abortion? What is abortion? Now, my testimony is in the form of a film. I would request, Mr. Chairman, that this film be showed to the committee members. It's only 7 minutes. The title of the film is Hard Truth. And, in fact, it is a hard truth. It cuts through all the euphemisms and slogans, and it faces the issue of abortion head on. It's very graphic. It shows graphic pictures of abortion, but there's no narration. So anyone who prefers not to watch it does not have to watch it. However, it like I say, it cuts beyond all the talk about abortion, and it simply lets you decide. Take a look. Is this something the state should pay for? And for those who are leaning toward the payment for abortions, I think they should be informed on the subject and just take a look at what it is they're proposing to pay for. And then say, just like the lady that preceded here, okay, regardless, I still am going to stand for paying for it. But I think you need to make an informed decision. And so, Mr. Chairman, I would ask, I thought that each of the hearing rooms had a VCR. I guess it does not. But could this 7-minute tape be shown to the committee? This represents my testimony because I believe it is the solid evidence. The issue is the baby. This shows the fate of the baby. We wouldn't be here if it wasn't the baby. This would not be an issue if we weren't concerned about destroying babies. Could this be shown to the committee?
Mr. Niger, sir, it would not be appropriate to have people submit films to the committee, but I would invite any committee member who wants to see it to contact you and get a copy of it. They can see it.
Do you ever show films in committee in hearings? I would like to make a special request that this one be shown here. You know, I would gladly wait till later in the hearing to have a VCR brought in.
We'll take it under advisement. I don't know.
Thank you very much.
I do want to remind members that there and people who wish to testify that there are a lot of people who have asked to testify and try to, if they can, to keep their testimony to as brief as they can and still get their point across so that we will give everybody an opportunity. There's a lot of people who are in line. Next person is Kathy Harding. I hope I'm pronouncing it right. Kathy Harding. If not, Robin Stevens.
My name is Robin Stevens, and I am a registered voter here in Juneau. I thank you for allowing me to have time to spend a couple of minutes with you and talk. And I'd like to address the issue of rights and choice. I believe in choice before sex. And I believe in rights for everyone. Now, a woman can't produce a child by herself. Once it's on the way, I think we ought to have the right for the child protected, just like Securities and Exchange would take care of a corporation's assets. Now, I have a 19-month-old boy. When I married his mother, I was a 41-year-old virgin. I'm not asking anyone to do something that I can't do myself. I feel it's inappropriate for the people of the state of Alaska to pay for abortions. Thank you.
Thank you. Next is John Lindbeck. Please proceed and state your name for the record.
My name is John Lindbeck, and I'm serving as president this year of the Juno Coalition for Pro-Choice. And before I get into my testimony, I'd like to introduce three of our board members who are here this evening, or this afternoon. Joyce Waldman, Judy Kavanaugh, and Meryl Loudon are all in the audience. They do not plan to testify because their testimony would be redundant, unless, of course, you want them to. But we'll try not to give you a redundant testimony today. We are a group that organized only 1 year ago, and since then our coalition and its companion political action committees have drawn the financial and volunteer support of more than 400 people in Juneau. We have also, through the use of a mail-out survey and a follow-up phone bank, compiled a database of 3,200 pro-choice women in Juneau. It is the result of our survey that 3 out of every 4 women in Juneau are pro-choice. I'm here to voice our organization's support for Senate Bill 53. We believe that the bill would protect the constitutional right to privacy for all women in Alaska by preserving a woman's right to choose regardless of her income level. Our organization respectfully opposed the regulations when they were first introduced. We were successful in getting more than 700 people in Juneau to voice their opposition to the regulation during the comment period, either by mail or by personal testimony at the local public hearing. Our opposition to the regulations is focused on the following. One, Alaska's constitution includes a very broad right to privacy clause that we believe protects a woman's right to choose regardless of whether she is rich or poor. The strictest abortion laws in the world will not stop abortions. The fact of the matter is that if these regulations, and when these regulations go into effect, abortions will happen. And the question really is, particularly for low-income women and teenagers under regulations of these kind, will they have access to safe abortion services, or whether through desperation will they seek help in the back alleys? We believe that these regulations are a recipe for more back alley abortions and death. These regulations will place an undue burden, in the words of the Supreme Court, on poor women, particularly in rural Alaska and southeast Alaska, where abortion services are currently not available. Trips to Anchorage and Seattle, along with the costs of an abortion, are prohibited for these women because abortion services are not available close to home. These regulations would make that situation worse and force these women to seek out unsafe back alley abortions, or to bear children that they do not want and they cannot support. The potential social cost of these regulations is enormous. Unwanted children in Alaska more often than not become wards of the state. I'd also like to point out to the committee, or remind the committee, that we have been down this road before. We took a vote in 1982 on limiting abortions. The outcome of the vote was 60% limiting public funding of abortions, and the outcome of the vote was 60% against that proposal to 40% in favor of it. Thank you very much for introducing this bill, and we applaud your committee's willingness to tackle this difficult and emotional issue.
Thank you. Take one more from Juno, and then I'd like to go on to teleconference. Senator Lehman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a question, because I've heard the same type of words before about, safe and legal, and then the alternative are the back alley abortions. I'm not sure that, I know there are back alleys in Juneau, but I'm not sure that's a particular problem in Juneau. But if somebody would seek those out and there was somebody to provide that, I assume there would be some payment for that, or else somebody wouldn't be providing it just as a gratuity. Do you have any knowledge of what that payment might be, and how much less than what is being paid now for the so-called safe and legal abortions in a medical facility?
Senator Lehman, I don't have any knowledge of what the payment would be.
Well, Mr. Chairman, the witness is suggesting that this is a something that would be a possibility. I just want to know if this is something that's real, if there's a historical basis for it here in Juneau, if there's any evidence, or if this is just charged words that is meant to somehow affect members of this committee.
Well, I think that there are many people around who can think back to the days prior to Roe versus Wade and the days of back alley abortions who could testify to that. Unfortunately, I'm not old enough to do that.
Any further questions of the committee? Thank you, Mr. Linder. Again, I'd like to take one more from Juneau and then go on to teleconference and give some of the sites there a chance. Next is Joan Heidersdorf.
My name is Joan Heidersdorf, and I'm representing myself. And I'd like to speak in opposition to SB 53. For one thing, I'm opposed to paying for abortions, but in this particular bill, we are really only addressing the payment of elective abortions. And in this case, the only abortions that would not be paid for were those abortions that refer to sex selection and birth control, failure of birth control. And so I think there's really no reason to make any additional payment along these lines, because we don't pay for elective surgery of any kind as a state, and abortion certainly in this bill anyway is only the elective abortion. And so I'd like to maintain the regulations as Governor Hochul has changed them to cut out this small area and protect the unborn, at least when the woman's only reason for choosing abortion would be because she doesn't like the sex of the child, or because her birth control methods have failed. The child here should take precedence in the life here. Thank you.
Thank you. There are a number of sites with people wishing to testify. I'm taking the sites at random. The first is Kenai Soldatna, and there are three people to testify, and I was wondering if we could begin with Beverly Burdaw, I believe. And if you could please, before you begin your testimony, please state your name for the record and then testify. Thank you.
Yes, my name is Beverly Burdaw. I'm from Nikiski, and I wish to testify against this bill. I believe that family planning and abortions have devalued our children because it's made them expendable. And we must have a high regard and love for our children as creations made in the image of God. They are precious gifts with eternal souls. They're wonderful blessings whose development and maturation need to be zealously guarded. We need to view them as possessing minds and souls and bodies, spirits, and they're gifts from God. And I think it's God that needs the right to choose. He chooses when he wants to open the womb and provide a gift of life. And we can't be part of, as taxpayers in any form, we can't be part of this murder. We just need to turn to God and see his ways, that we just can't be making that choice. It's his choice. And as for a monetary perspective, I have documented information of 6,000 cases where this is Planned Parenthood, which is the world's leading abortion provider and advocate and litigant, where they have 6,000 of them that when it was up to the client to pay, it was one-third the cost than when it was taxpayers paying. To put it bluntly, Planned Parenthood is soaking the taxpayer, and these conclusions are based upon statistical analysis of 6,000 cases. We just have to stop this murder and stop being part of it. Thank you.
Thank you. Senator Salo.
Beverly, what's the source of the statistics that you just read us?
It's a book by Robert H. Ruff. It's called Aborting Planned Parenthood, Documented Proof of Planned Parenthood's Systematic Exploitation of Teenagers and Taxpayers.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next person is, again, in Soldotna, Ann Pence.
Yes, my name is Ann Pence, and I want to thank you for giving me this opportunity to voice my opinion on a subject I feel is very important. I support state funding for abortions and Senate Bill 53. Women have the right, including disadvantaged women, to choose abortion. The U.S. Supreme Court's decision to grant women the right to receive an abortion should not apply only to women who can afford it. I believe that ending state funding for abortions is just the beginning of the erosion of women's rights in general. The pro-life constituency is loud, but it is not the majority. Please listen to the women of Alaska. I'm a registered voter, and I vote pro-choice. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, any questions in the committee? The next person, again, in Soldotna is Rebecca Perry.
I'm Rebecca Perry, Kasilof, Alaska. My concern is about the regulations themselves. Alaska is one out of the 12 remaining states that still allow Medicaid-funded abortion. And of the 38 other states that refuse to provide public funds, no exceptions for rape, incest, physical, or psychological reasons are made. I'm a member of a statewide pro-life group that feels that the governor's regulations are totally spineless as far as preventing public funds from being used. We recognize that the regulations will have little effect on preventing women from accessing public funds, and we're gravely disappointed in the governor's attempt to place these restrictions on public funding. We are totally opposed to public funding of any kind, and we urge the governor and our legislators to reconsider the impact of those regulations and make them tougher if they really want them to have the effect of preventing public funds from being used. We want our legislators to know that they're pro-life with us, that we support them and their efforts, but these regulations are just not going to get it, and we want to see them revamped and represented and a stronger stand taken. So whether we support this bill or not is almost of no consequence because we feel the regulations themselves are of so little effect. So our message is that we are strongly pro-life, and we are not going to compromise and accept these spineless regulations. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, there are people who have signed up to testify from Fairbanks, and I'd like to call in Fairbanks, starting with Mrs. Ruth Ewig, I believe. Please forgive me if I've mispronounced your name.
I'm Ruth Ewig, and you did not mispronounce my name. You did very well. I'm Ruth Ewig, reading this for Director John Harbaugh, Assistant Director Jonathan Ewig, Treasurer David Stack, myself, as Secretary of Citizens for Excellence in Education, NACE, and 1,500 concerned citizens in the Tamanaw Valley. We are alarmed at the legislators who have acted to create Senate Bill 53, which further enlists Alaska as an accomplice in the torture and killing of preborn babies by abortion. Statistically, 97% to 98% of preborn babies have been killed for reasons of birth control. by changing our education system to character development curriculum, which is in use in different parts of the country and which has reduced teen pregnancies to zero in California. You, as legislators, could serve this state well by using our limited financial resources most profitably and investing in true abstinence education with the advantages emphasized, leading to responsible planning that does not butcher babies. It is acknowledged that there are a few difficult situations that media hype and popular culture enlarge on, but pulling a baby apart does not justify crime and leads to twice the trauma. The question really is life versus lifestyle. Once the baby is born, no woman can be, has been, or will ever be compelled to raise a child she brings to full term. We identify two sets of rights. The rights of the preborn babies, and they are alive, and the rights of the woman in a crisis pregnancy to tear apart the baby, relieving the burden. That is, destroying a life, saving a lifestyle. Education is the key. An educational film shown to students shows how an abortion is done in a record 1 minute 50 seconds. The baby is demolished into the consistency of tomato sauce by suctioning her out of her mother and spreading her around on a counter to show the camera audience.
There are three more people from Fairbanks who wish to testify. I'd like to go next to Judy Scully, please.
All right, my name is Julie Scully, and I represent the Interior Christian Action Council, which is a newly formed group of citizens in the Fairbanks and North Pole area. We adamantly oppose Senate Bill 53 and any other bills similar to it, and we urge you to oppose them as well. We believe that it is morally wrong for the state to require all citizens to share in the responsibility of killing babies. Even when these children are not wanted by their own mothers, there are couples, men and women, who do want these children, even if their own parents do not. As a citizen of Alaska, I urge you, the Hess Committee, as well as the others involved here, to vote no on this bill and to go further to prevent the state funding of abortions. Thank you.
Thank you. Next is Mim Dixon.
Mim Dixon had to leave, so the next person in Fairbanks will be Ann Harrison.
Thank you. Please proceed.
My name is Ann Harrison. I live at 3270 Rosie Creek Road, and I speak in favor of Senate Bill 53 and the continued funding of abortion with state funds. I speak from the perspective of 27 years in the healthcare profession, 20 of those years very, very deeply involved in women's health care issues and public health issues. I would like to say that many of the comments that I've heard over the last hour have perhaps been gleaned through other people's perspectives and not the perspective of the people that are quoting things that they have read. I have seen abortions. I have worked very, very closely with women tell you the post-abortion syndrome that I hear so much about, I believe is a product of people that are trying to instill guilt and make women feel very, very guilty for the action that they chose at an earlier time of their life. I am not for one moment denying the dignity of life and the very specialness of babies, but I think there's another perspective on this, and this is about children who are born into homes that are not willing and ready to accept them. I hear a lot about adoption. There are always people. I can tell you there are millions of children. 2 minutes are up. Anyway, I could go on because I do have so much experience in this area, and feel that there's just a lot of mistruth being discussed in this. Anyway, again, please continue funding for women through the state for abortion when they are chosen. We have a right to privacy.
Thank you. Next, I'd like to call in people who have signed up to testify from the Anchorage location. If we could start with Lori Otto, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Lori Otto. I'm testifying as a private citizen. Because time is short, I won't go into the policy and legal reasons that I support Senate Bill 53. I think that John Limbeck stated those reasons very well, and I concur with his comments, although I would say to Senator Lehman that I am old enough to remember the time when abortion was not legal, and I do know from personal experience, not my own experience, but of friends of mine who had to deal with the aftermath of having a legal abortion. I don't think that laws prohibiting abortion ever stop it from occurring, and for that reason and many others, I'm strongly pro-choice. I would like to raise a particular point about the bill that's before you, though, and would encourage you to amend it. If you look at page 1, section 2, which is on lines 9 through 11, you'll see that this bill really only annuls the regulations that were filed by the Lieutenant Governor on January 20th, 1993. That would mean that if this bill passed and went into law, new regulations could be filed the day after the bill passed, and they would not be annulled, and this process would have to begin again. I think that a better approach to this problem would be to amend the statutes to require payment for abortions. There is a bill that is in your committee, Senate Bill 55, that includes the language that you would need to add to this bill to accomplish that result, and to take Senate Bill 55, the sections 2, 3, and 6, and put them into Senate Bill 53, you would ensure that there would be some finality on this issue if the bill does go through the legislature successfully. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Senator Lehman?
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Otto, since I heard my name mentioned, I'll respond and give you a chance to answer the same question I asked Mr. Lindbeck. From your experience and your memory of these so-called back alley abortions, do you know what the cost differential was or what it might be between those that would be driven to such a provider of service and those who would get it from a standard health care provider if state funding for elective abortions were withdrawn? And you know, you mentioned that laws prohibiting abortion don't stop it. You know, what we have before us today is not that issue. We have the issue of state funding, and as you well know, state funding for elective non-therapeutic abortion. Anyway, if you could answer those two questions, I sure appreciate it.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Lehman, the one case that stands out most strongly in my memory was the girl that I went to high school with who lived in my neighborhood, who did not have access to funding, who attempted self-help procedures, ended up creating a major injury inside of her body, and it was free abortion, but it ended up creating lifetime problems for her because she didn't have the money and because abortions weren't legal.
Any further questions?
Not like an answer, but...
Okay, thank you, Ms. Next we have Bonnie Jack from Anchorage.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Bonnie L. Jack. My address is 1063 West 20th Avenue, 99503. My homework and fax number is 279-4836. I live in Precinct 311, District 15. I vote, and I vote pro-choice. I am also the mother of 23-year-old boy-girl twins, a lifelong Republican activist. Presently, I serve on the Coalition of Alaska for Choice Steering Committee, the Alaska Women's Political Caucus Steering Committee. I am the founder of the Republican Association of Professional and Business Women. I serve as the Alaska contact person for the National Republicans for Choice and the National Coalition of Republicans for Choice. I was elected a state Republican delegate and serve as a precinct committee woman for my precinct. Today, I am representing myself. I am speaking in favor of Senate Bill 53. First, I want to express my pleasure at seeing that a Republican chairs the committee that introduced this bill. I have said many times, issues aren't partisan, only people are. I urge each of you to pass this bill out of committee today with a due pass. Don't allow abortions to go back to being unsafe for poor women. Don't allow the Hickel administration to change the current practice of publicly funded abortions. The voters of Alaska spoke loud and clear in 1982 when they said yes, 112,995 to 77,829, or 68.9% the state-funded abortions. Political polls taken during the 1992 elections asking about state funding of abortions ranged from 55 to 87% in support of state-funded abortions, depending on the circumstances of the abortion and the demographics. Always, the answer was yes to state funding. As long as women can bear children, there will be unwanted pregnancies. By not funding abortions, poor women will be punished and possibly killed, as Lori just mentioned, by unsafe, illegal, back alley butchers. To the argument that the state budget needs cutting, I certainly agree, but not at the expense of women's lives. Thank you.
Thank you. Next we have Myrna Maynard, Anchorage.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Myrna Maynard. I am a Republican and I am an almost 37 years next week married woman with two children, two grandchildren who I adore, and I am anti-abortion, but I am very pro-choice. Governor Hickel put this regulation together as a crumb to throw to his very conservative citizens who elected him. He made lots of promises he couldn't keep, and at the end of the year decided that he needed to throw them a peace offering. This is it. Unfortunately, he chose poor women to use as the fallout. Perhaps Governor Hickel should concentrate on making contraceptives available to all Alaskan citizens and have sex education available to our teenagers and really do something to prevent abortion. Not just punish those who are already being punished through hardships, and now he's throwing something else at them. I would certainly hope that you pass this legislation and perhaps take the recommendations of Ms. Otto, who made a good point. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Next in Anchorage is Eileen Self.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, thank you for holding these hearings. I would like to testify in support of Senate Bill 53. My name is Eileen Self. I am the chair of the Coalition of Alaskans for Choice in Anchorage. I would like to remind you of the extensive public testimony that was taken on this issue last summer and the fact that people with feelings on both sides testified widely against these regulations for a lot of good reasons. And I welcome the chance to see them overturned. Abortion is a legal option, and to single out abortion services for exclusion when pre- and postnatal care, childbirth, contraceptives, and sterilization are all choices that are supported through the expenditure of state funds is simply not fair. My concern, I share concerns of Lori Otto and others who have spoken that this bill does not go far enough to protect women by simply repealing these specific regulations that have been adopted. I wonder if this will in fact prevent the governor from future attempts to restrict those funds through his regulatory powers. And I would ask that the legislature make its intent very clear in this, that as a matter of public policy, the state of Alaska intends for poor women to have equal access to abortion services. And as an addendum to my testimony, I would just like to ask the committee to enter into the public record the fact that I have observed members of the public here to testify, copying down names, addresses, and telephone numbers of those of us who are here today, and that this could be seen or perceived as very threatening by some people. I can only hope that Mr. Moffitt and others who have taken down all our names have only the most honorable of intentions for how they'll make use of those names, addresses, and telephone numbers. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Any questions of the committee? We have about 5 more minutes on teleconference, and then I'd like to give people in Juneau a chance to testify and then go back to teleconference. The next person is Thomas Moffitt.
Darwin, can you hear me?
Yes. Please state your name for the record.
Can you hear me, Senator Rieger?
We can hear you. Please state your name for the record and proceed.
My name is Thomas Moffitt. I'm Executive Director of Alaska Right to Life. I thank you, Mr. Chairman, for an opportunity to speak to you all, and particularly send my greetings to Senator Wyman down there, and Senator Miller, Senator Sharp. First of all, I'd like to say that I sadly have to agree with Ms. Maynard that the regulations before you are a crumb, and perhaps not even a crumb thrown by the administration. They're more on the line of a sham. It's huff and puff time, I guess. I speak for our political action committee. We discussed this bill and the underlying regulations last night on teleconference. It's a sad thing. The administration dilly and they dally. And they delay. And they agonize. And finally, they issued regulations which are null and void, which have no effect. They're not worth the paper they're printed on. These regulations provide for the continuing payment of abortions which are in the physical or psychological health interests of the woman. Now, I think everybody in this room, and I think everyone around the state, realizes what kind of a physician would perform any medical procedure, a surgical procedure on anyone that he didn't believe or that she didn't believe was in the physical or psychological interest of their patient. Now, I'll stipulate that if you have an honorable physician, that they're going to be able to sign off on an invoice for that, because they're going to believe that they acted in the physical and psychological interest of their patient. If they're not, they're going to lie about it. And I certainly don't understand how the administration plans to cut off 1 red cent of blood money to pay for the abortions the state is presently paying. The increased abortions, the increase of slaughter, state-paid slaughter by the state of Alaska and the Pickle administration. This is, my opinion, a waste of the public's time. It's a waste of your time. Will you vote these regulations up, or will you vote them down? And with that, doubtless you'll be hearing from our chapters as we button it up to them as to what they want to recommend, and to people who share concern for the unborn child, whether they want you to vote yes or they want you to vote no. There is real comfort in here, and the Hickel administration has served you up thin gruel, and I think our opponents were ready to sink their teeth into something. Actually, they got nothing. And we certainly haven't got anything to defend. I think this hearing and your time is going to be a waste of the public's money. I certainly hope that you spend a great deal of time, and especially money, on lawyers' fees in the courts and elsewhere. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If you have any questions, I'd be glad to answer them.
Thank you. I've been informed that because of the, I guess, just technical problems with the teleconference network, that the Homer site would be going offline at 3 o'clock. So I'm going to change the order that I just announced a minute ago and go to Homer now. And if I could ask the people there to please keep their testimony brief to give as many people as possible a chance to testify. The first person who has signed up from Homer is Harriet Papke, I believe. Please proceed.
My name is Harriet Papke, and I speak from a standpoint of 35 years' experience in health care. I'm against this bill. Women on Medicaid have been led to believe that abortion is a safe and effective means of birth control. For example, as part of my job, I recently had contact with a 24-year-old female who had had 4 legal abortions in the last 5 years. Was having a problem following the latest abortion performed by a doctor under legal circumstances. Nobody told her that if she ever wants to have a baby, she may face severe problems or may face a life-threatening ectopic pregnancy. If a woman went to a doctor for a surgical procedure and was not told of all possible complications, we would be outraged. And just because it's legal doesn't necessarily make it safe. So we continue to lie to women about the safety of abortion as a means of birth control. And I deeply resent my tax dollars being used to perpetuate this lie. Thank you.
Thank you. Next is Claudine Flowers.
My name is Claudine Flowers. Thank you for letting me share my thoughts. I'm strongly against state funding for abortion. I've heard that to not pay for poor women's abortions would be discrimination. The same could be said for nose jobs. I know this sounds silly, but why should only rich people be allowed to have nice noses? Isn't this discrimination against poor people? Maybe our tax money ought to pay for nose jobs for poor people. It doesn't make any sense at all. I don't want my tax dollars to pay for killing children. I don't want my tax money to saddle women with regret and emotional pain that stay with them the rest of their lives. You've heard pro-abortion people say, I have the right to do what I want with my own body. But we're not talking about a woman's body part. This little guy is a separate body. He has his own heartbeat, his own blood type, his own fingerprint, his own bodily functions. These little babies are prejudged. Someone decides they don't deserve to live. I can't quite follow their thinking. This little one might grow up to be unwanted, so we better kill him. Like, this is more merciful. I was a good candidate for abortion. My mother's husband committed suicide after leaving her with 3 babies. Shortly after, she married another alcoholic, abusive man and got pregnant with me, which she needed like a hole in the head. But I tell you what, there's a purpose for my life just like there is for yours, and just like there is for each child. And today in my mom's glass, she has all her kids and grandkids. Thank you.
Thank you. Next is Mr. Ramon Flowers.
Hi, my name is Raymond Flowers, and good afternoon, Senators. I'm against Bill 53. I have a wonderful mother and father. I was adopted by them. My biological mother was young. When she found out she was pregnant with me, she was probably faced with either aborting me or putting me up for adoption. Instead of killing me, she chose life. I'm glad. I am a valuable person. Think of all the babies that have been killed without any chance whether to live or die. no chance was given to them to grow up like I did. I ask you, senators, please make it illegal for abortion to be done and try to get more adoption facilities going. Life is more important than death. Thank you.
Thank you. Sorry for the mispronunciation of your name. Next is Sandra Johns.
Yeah, I'll keep this short. I just wanted to say that I am in support of Bill 53. I want state-funded abortion to continue. I believe cut funding is unconstitutional. Denial of funding targets and punishes low-income women who are already punished enough. Thank you.
Thank you. Next is Mary Claire Fowecki.
Yes, thank you. This is Mary Claire Fowecki, and my vote is to support Bill 53. My vote is that the state not, in essence, continue to oppress those of limited means and not continue to violate a woman's right to privacy, autonomy, and the exercise of her own human rights. For too long, women's status, options, and dreams have been male-defined and regulated. When will women choose to take back their self-respect, independence, and freedom? To be pro-choice is not to be anti-life or anti-children. It is, in fact, central to the celebration of life that women be given back the right to self-determination. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next is Eileen Mullen.
Yes, thank you. This is... I'm in support of Senate Bill 53. I have two children. They are very important to me. I would like us to keep state funding for abortion. I think all women in Alaska deserve a choice as to what happens with their bodies. Also, I think it is especially important that children are wanted. A child raised under an atmosphere of resentment is not what I want in our society. Thank you.
Thank you. Next is, still from Homer, Margaret Hennigan.
Hi, my name is Margaret Hennigan, and I'm in support of Senate Bill 53. I don't believe in preventing women from having an abortion. Senate Bill 53 will allow women of all economic classes to make their personal choices to have or have not an abortion. By allowing state-funded abortions, women of lower economic status will be forced to have unwanted, unplanned children or a back-alley abortion. Neither creates a hardship on the women and potential strain on the state of Alaska's welfare system. Thank you.
Thank you. Next is Mary Lentfer.
Yes, my name is Mary Lentfer, and I am a 35-year resident from Alaska and have been in the health field for many of those years and have seen at firsthand the results of backroom abortion. I support Bill 53. Thank you.
Senator Lehman.
Mr. Chairman, Ms. Lenford, through your experience with seeing the backroom, back alley abortions, are you aware of what the cost differential would be for those type of abortions and those performed by a licensed medical provider? The average cost that the state pays for is somewhere in the order of $440. Are you aware from your experience of what the price would be that would drive people to the so-called back alley abortionist?
Quite no.
Any other questions? Next is Karen Hogan, please.
Hi, my name is Karen Hogan. I support Senate Bill 53. The decision to have an abortion is always a serious adult decision. Individuals on public assistance should and must be given the same respect in making this personal, difficult decision. Abortion is legal, and funding should and must be continued. Thank you.
Thank you. Next is Kim Smith.
Thank you for letting us have this opportunity. I am a mother of three. I'm also the director of Kachemak Bay Family Planning Clinic, and I'm also speaking as someone who has had to make the difficult choice of having an abortion. I can assure you that the women that I've spoken to that have chosen to terminate their pregnancies have made that decision prior to getting any kind of information as to where they can get that abortion or termination taking place. Poor women, rich which women have already made their choices. Denying them access will not change their minds. Here in this area, cost is a definite issue. It is very hard for people of low economic means to get up to Anchorage to have a termination if they do not have cars, if they do not have friends and family. So we are placing undue burden on those who have already chosen to terminate these pregnancies. I don't believe that denying them access will ever change their minds. Thank you.
Thank you. Next is Susan Kearns.
Yes, my name is Susan Kearns. I'm a 10-year resident of Alaska. I'm also a registered voter. I have voted in every election in which I've been present in Alaska, and I do vote pro-choice. I'm here to testify in support of Senate Bill 53. I believe that in the larger scheme of things, the cost of state government, of these abortions to state government is negligible. The issue is not how many abortions or the amount of money being spent on state-funded abortions. The issue is denying poor women access to a legal medical procedure. One of the things I like about living in Alaska is the strong constitutional protection to the right of privacy and the right of equal access. Supporting the governor's regulations regarding state funding of abortions flies in the face of these constitutional safeguards. These regulations condemn teens and poor women to back alley abortions. It is a common statistic that when abortions are denied, women die. I believe that we already had a public referendum on this issue in 1982, in which 60% of the voting public voted to oppose limiting public funds spent on abortions. Thank you very much for this opportunity to testify before you.
Thank you. Next is Dwayne Christensen.
Good afternoon. This is Dwayne Christensen. I think I finally beginning to understand why you folks are unable to conduct the affairs of this state in the allotted time allowed, and continually must go into special sessions, and even then quite often fail to finish your business. That you are wasting our resources, i.e. public funds and valuable time, for which you only had 120 days to start with, one indicator as to why. It is clear to all concerned that the wording in the present regulation really has little, if any, restrictive quality, and why you and others are fighting so diligently to remove these weightless restrictions is beyond me. They're very, very simple restrictions, and they don't make abortions illegal in this state. They just merely make women consider their actions. Centers for Disease Control figures show that 98% of abortions performed are for convenience. Now, this means that women are actively making their choices, and that is they choose to get themselves pregnant. Given this and the fact that the even Planned Parenthood's figures, I believe, is 93% of women get their abortions for convenience, that they're making their choices long before they get the abortion. In the interest of time, let me just say that I am against Senate Bill 53, and you guys ought to get together and balance the budget down there. That's what you're there for. Thanks.
Thank you. Next is Laurie Christensen.
Hi, I'm against House Bill SB 53. Pregnancy is preventable through abstinence, contraception, sterilization, and a child doesn't destroy your life. And if you're not ready for the responsibility, there's adoption. Abortion is killing a human being. Is killing a human being. The state shouldn't fund it. Put your energies into making adoption easier and teaching abstinence. I'm against the bill that stands right now that lets it be done for rape, incest, and endangerment of the mother. I would like to see that taken away. Women have the right to choose before conception. Abstinence, contraception, sterilization, adoption, or a beautiful baby, not murder. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. There are three more people from Homer. Let's see if we can squeeze them in before the we lose our connection. Marie Luchenko?
Marie Luchenko, thank you very much. Hello, Senator.
Sorry,
and members of the House Committee. I'm addressing the Senate Bill 53, which I do oppose, and any bills referring to the funding or legalizing of abortion. First, I'd like to express my deepest regret that any bill would be passed or even proposed without the people's opinion on the subject expressed. To move a bill through the legislature without exposing it to the light for all public opinion to be heard is deceitful and deceptive. We all support our state and thus should be kept informed of the legislative agenda for bills brought to the floor to be voted on. One of the programs that the state funds is Planned Parenthood, whose founder, Margaret Sanger, I believe it is, was a known eugenic racist, and that was also what Adolf Hitler was. This is an example of the person's endeavor to eliminate all babies, not of the Caucasian race. I do not concede any abortion of any kind, as well as state-funded, to be right. And I ask all of you who are elected officials by the people to work for all people, and not just a selected few and their selfish motives. And as a mother of three, I do appeal to your hearts, just that for us all to look in deeply at the truth and only the truth. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next is Terry Bramell. I don't know if we've lost the connection. I'd call in Terry Bramlett or Paula Sederquist if either of you are there, if we're still online.
This is Terry Bramlett in Homer.
Oh, please proceed.
I'm a mother of two, and just to make it short, I support House Bill 53. I believe poor women have the same constitutional rights as others, and I hope you protect them. Thanks.
Thank you. And Paula Sederquist?
Hello, I'm a mother of one, and I would just like to say that I support Senate Bill 53. I believe that poor women in this state are going to find back alley abortions. And I know that you're aware of it, but I wonder if some of the people listening are aware that we don't have a state income tax. And so people's money within the state, particularly, aren't being put aside for this function. Thank you for your time. Homer has one more, please.
Please proceed.
I want to say that I'm against Senate Bill SB 53. My name is Bonnie Glover, and I feel that abortion is wrong.
Thank you. At this time, I'd like to go back to the people in Juneau who have signed up to testify. The next person is Kathy Polk.
Mr. Chairman, my name is Kathy Polk. I am a full-blooded Tlingit Indian.
Excuse me, could you please flick the little switch right there? Okay.
My name is Kathy Polk. I am a full-blooded Tlingit Indian, born and raised in Juneau. I am a woman. I am a minority. I am a woman who has free choice. And I can walk into any place that I want. I can do anything with my body that I want. But I do not have the right to kill my children. I do not have the right to have an abortion. And I come against it. None of us have a right to have babies killed. We all value our lives. We spend a lot of money on medical costs for our health. We pay money for our children that we have. The children that are killed are approximately 5,000 children a day are killed through abortion. Those children were filled with potential to be great leaders in our country of the United States. I am sorry that we have to have this meeting to fight for life. It is so savage the way these children are eradicated, and that we could sit here and decide whether we want to get rid of them or keep them. Our lawmakers of this state, the decision lies within your hands. If you choose to have these children killed, the blood of these children are on your hands. If this bill passes, it would be very unfortunate if one of the children that were killed were one of your grandchildren, because you had passed this bill. Because our children are going to have free choice. And the message we're giving to our children is, do whatever you want, we'll make a way. There's going to come a time, if we teach our children that life is not very important, there will come a time when we will all be old. And perhaps because of the society and the economics of our state that cannot hardly support us, there may come a time when our children may choose to eradicate us in our old age. Once we are through with what we have to offer this world. I am against this bill and any bill. I just could not believe what I was reading when I read House Bill 9, 53, abortion. Abortion is an issue that none of us should ever have to choose. And these poor women, I'm so sick and tired of hearing these poor women. I have 13 brothers and sisters, and I'm the oldest. My father was a cab driver. And though we did not have a lot of food on our table, we ate. And we had love in our family. I ask you, have compassion on these babies. Within the first trimester, a baby can feel pain. Within the first trimester, and it is my understanding that a lot of babies are killed even in the second trimester of pregnancy. Would we allow our children to be sucked into a vacuum and ripped apart? Would we? Would we allow our children to be thrown in a tub of a saline solution and become pickled like that of salmon? I do not think so. We all value our children that we have. We value our own lives. And what else do we have? We don't have anything else. I strongly urge you to just kill this bill. And any bill that has to do with abortion. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Polk, I think there's some questions in the committee.
Yes.
Senator Ellis.
Thank you, Ms. Chairman. Ms. Polk, you started a thought there. I'm sick and tired of these poor women. I wanted to give you an opportunity to continue that thought and share with the committee what you meant by I'm sick and tired of these poor women. Please.
So many times people talk about the poor women. I come from a poor family. I was a high school dropout, and I had the odds against me. But because of persistence and determination, I was able to overcome it. I believe that every single woman has the potential to be whatever she wants to be and does not have to be poor. I believe that we can be whatever we want to be, and I believe that we were given a gift to accomplish something within this life. If the women get pregnant, There, in my opinion, there is no excuse for this to happen. We live in an age where technology is so huge. I work on computers. It is very difficult to keep up with the software. The technology is just above and beyond what we can comprehend. We can send a man to the moon. Why can't we keep the women from getting pregnant if they don't want to be pregnant? Why do they not use the birth control that is available? And if they get pregnant through rape or incest, why are we not going after those rapists and the people that causes incest? You can't tell me that 5,000 mothers a day are raped or have been used through incest. That's a lot of babies. Not only that, I did some research. The reason I am here is because I have been taking a class on writing. And my assignment was to do something on something controversy. I chose to do it on abortion. I was really shocked when I started to do my research, because I had always been against abortion, and I knew I didn't believe in it, but I hadn't really thought about all the facts. But when I started to find out my facts, I was astounded. And the figures that I had gotten in regards to the people that had abortions in the fiscal year of 91, I found out that the age group of abortions that were performed were 13 to 16 years of age, were 31 abortions in the state of Alaska. The age group of 17 to 21, there were 258 abortions that the state paid for. The age group between 22 and 30 were 410. These are mature people that chose to have abortions. They were not teenagers. The teenagers are the number is down. Over the age of 31, there were 124 abortions. And I found out that 396 of these people were white. 271 were natives. 100 were black. 19 Hispanic, and the other unknown were 37. The state had paid $415,000 for these services out of state monies for these abortions. That's a lot of money in a state that's hungry.
Thank you. Other questions for the committee? Senator Lehman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Polk, I'm